News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. Women should be allowed to appear in the National Defense Academy exams this year, the Supreme Court said on Wednesday, rejecting the government's request to defer the move until next year. The government had suggested that the first women candidates for NDA should take the exams in May next year. The court turned down a prayer made by the Ministry of Defense to exempt the NDA from the induction of women from the present entrance. The ministry said that certain infrastructural and curriculum changes are required to allow the induction of women, and hence it sought time till May 2022 to allow the women to participate in NDA entrance. However, a bench led by Justice Sanjay Kishan Kaul observed that the admission of women cannot be postponed. The bench took note of the submissions made by senior advocate Chinmoy Pradeep Sharma on behalf of the petitioner Kush Kalra that two exams are held by the NDA during a year for the admissions to the next year. So allowing women to take only the 2022 exams will mean that their admissions to the NDA will take place only in 2023. The bench said that it cannot postpone the absorption of women by 1 year. The bench observed that the armed forces are well trained to deal with emergencies and hence they will be able to come up with a faster solution to facilitate the entry of women soon. It would be difficult for us to accept the submissions of the center in view of the aspirations of the candidates willing to take the exam. Armed forces have seen far emergent situations both at the border and in the country. We are sure such training will come handy here. We will thus not vacate the order passed by us. We will keep the plea pending here so that directions can be sought as situations arise, ordered the top court. The petition has been kept pending and will now be heard in January 2022 for further directions if needed. The court further stated that instead of allowing women to write the exams next year, the centre should try to work out something for the women candidates. Former Punjab Chief Minister Captain Amrinder Singh on Wednesday vowed that he will fight against Navjot Singh Sidhu's elevation to chief ministership tooth and nail and will pit a strong candidate against Sidhu in the 2022 assembly polls to ensure his defeat. Singh, referring to the president of Punjab Congress Committee, Sidhu, said that he was ready to make any sacrifice to save the country from such a dangerous man. If Sidhu behaves as the super CM, the party won't function, he said, adding that under this drama master's leadership, it would be a big thing if the Congress managed to touch double digits in Punjab polls. Assuring that he will only leave politics on a high, Singh said in a series of media interviews, "I was ready to leave after victory, but never after a loss." He disclosed that he had offered his resignation to Sonia Gandhi 3 weeks earlier, but she had asked him to continue. He said that he had even told Sonia that he was ready to hang his boots and allow someone else to take over as CM after leading the Congress to another sweeping win in Punjab. But that did not happen, so I will fight, he asserted, taking strong exception to being subjected to humiliation by calling a CLP in a secretive manner without taking him into confidence. I would not have taken MLAs on a flight to Goa or someplace. That is not how I operate. I don't do gimmicks. And the Gandhi siblings know that is not my way, he said, adding, Priyanka and Rahul are like my children. This should not have ended like this. I'm hurt. Singh said the Gandhi children were quite inexperienced and their advisors were clearly misguiding them. On his future course of action, he indicated that he was still keeping his political options open. You can be old at 40 and young at 80, he quipped, making it clear that he did not see his age as a hurdle. On allegations of inaccessibility, Captain Amrinder said he had been elected to the Vidhan Sabha 7 times and 2 times to the Parliament. There must be something right with me, he remarked, adding that the Congress leadership had evidently decided on making the change in Punjab and were trying to make up a case. Referring to complaints that he was not taking arbitrary action against the Badals and Majithia in the sacrilege and drugs cases, the former chief minister said he believed in allowing the law to take its course. But now these people who were complaining against me are in power. Let them throw the Akali leaders behind bars if they can, he retorted. Taking a jab against Sidhu and his supporters over allegations of not taking action against ministers involved in the mining mafia, he quipped, those very ministers are now with these leaders. Singh also ridiculed the way Punjab was supposedly being run from Delhi, pointing out that as CM he had called the shots and appointed his own ministers, as he knew the capability of each of them. He questioned how Congress leaders like Venugopal or Ajay Makan or Randeep Surjewala could decide who is good for which ministry. Our religions teach us that all are equal. I don't look at people based on their caste. It's about their efficiency, he said, in an obvious reference to the caste considerations that had dictated the choice of the new leadership in the state. Taking a dig at Sidhu's ostensible interference in Charanjit Singh Channi's domain, the former chief minister said the PPCC should just decide on party affairs. I had a very good PPCC president. I took his advice, but he never told me how to run the government, he added, contrasting it with the way Sidhu was virtually dictating the terms, with Channi simply nodding along. He termed it a sad situation for Punjab that Sidhu, who could not handle his own ministry, should be managing the cabinet. While Channi was intelligent and well-educated, he unfortunately had no experience in managing home affairs, which was critical for Punjab that shares a 600-kilometer border with Pakistan, with things getting more and more serious over the years, said Captain Amrinder. The amount of weapons and ammunition coming into Punjab from Pakistan was alarming, he said, once again slamming Sidhu for his close personal relations with the Pak leadership. On the new CM's announcement of waiver of power bills, he said Channi must have discussed it with the former finance minister and they must have thought of something. I hope they don't bankrupt the state, he added. The Central Bureau of Investigation will probe the death of Akhil Bharatiya Akhada Parishad President Mahant Narendra Giri, the Uttar Pradesh Home Department announced on Wednesday. UP police on Tuesday constituted an 18-member SIT to probe the case and detained a disciple of the seer in Haridwar. Meanwhile, Chief Minister Yogi Adityanath said all aspects related to the death are being investigated and the guilty will not be spared. A plea seeking a CBI probe into the death had been sent to the Chief Justice of the Allahabad High Court on Tuesday. Deputy CM Keshav Prasad Maurya too said his government is ready for every kind of investigation into the matter. Samajwadi Party Chief Akhilesh Yadav has demanded a judicial probe by a sitting High Court judge. The seer, who was the president of the largest organization of sadhus in India, was found hanging by his disciples at Bagambari Mutt in Allahabad on Monday. A purported suicide note was also found, in which the seer had written that he was mentally disturbed and upset with one of his disciples, police had said. According to a release, the 18-member special investigation team constituted by Allahabad SSP will include two circle officers. Meanwhile, ADG Law and Order Prashant Kumar in Lucknow said the state police detained the seer's disciple Anandgiri on Monday night in Haridwar. Anandgiri was detained after a case for abetting suicide was lodged against him, Kumar said. The ADG said in the suicide note, names of three people were mentioned and on the basis of the FIR, Anandgiri was detained. He is being brought to Allahabad for further probe, he said, adding that evidence in the case is being collected. An unbiased and transparent probe into the matter is on and the state police is capable of handling the case, the officer said. About the veracity of the suicide note, Kumar said forensic experts are looking into it. CM Adityanath, who rushed to Allahabad to pay his respects to the seer, told reporters that the case will be solved soon. Every single aspect connected with the case will be exposed and the guilty will be punished, he added. Deputy CM Keshav Prasad Maurya, who paid floral tributes to the Mahant, said the guilty will not be able to escape and his government is ready for every kind of probe, be it by police or the CBI. Samajwadi Party President Akhilesh Yadav on Tuesday demanded a judicial probe by a sitting High Court judge. Racism, climate change and worsening divisions among nations and cultures topped the agenda on Wednesday as leaders from China to Costa Rica, from Finland to Turkey to the United Nations itself, outlined reasons why the world isn't working as it should and what must be done quickly to fix it. said one country's president, the future is raising its voice at us. For the first time since the pandemic began early last year, more than 24 world leaders appeared in person at the UN General Assembly on the opening day of their annual high-level meeting on Tuesday. In speech after speech, the atmosphere was somber, angry, and dire. Chinese President Xi Jinping warned that the world has entered a period of new turbulence and transformation. Finland President Sauli Niinistö said, "We are indeed at a critical juncture." And Costa Rican President Carlos Alvarado Quesada declared, "The future is raising its voice at us, less military weaponry, more investment in peace." The day's UN agenda will first turn the spotlight on the commemoration of the 20th anniversary of the controversial UN World Conference Against Racism in Durban, South Africa, which was dominated by clashes over the Middle East and the legacy of slavery. The US and Israel walked out during the meeting over a draft resolution that singled out Israel for criticism and likened Zionism to racism, a provision that was eventually dropped. 20 countries are boycotting Wednesday's commemoration, according to the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations, which urged more countries to join them in continuing to fight racism, bigotry, and anti-Semitism. Perhaps the harshest assessment of the current global crisis came from UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who opened his State of the World address, sounding an alarm that the world must wake up. "Our world has never been more threatened or more divided," he said. "We face the greatest cascade of crises in our lifetimes. We are on the edge of an abyss and moving in the wrong direction," the Secretary General warned. Guterres pointed to supersized, glaring inequalities in addressing the pandemic, climate alarm bells ringing at fever pitch, upheavals from Afghanistan, Ethiopia, Yemen, and beyond, thwarting peace, and a surge of mistrust and misinformation that is polarizing people and paralyzing societies. Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan said the pandemic was a reminder that the entire world are part of a big family. "But the solidarity test that we were put to failed us miserably," he said. "It is a disgrace for humanity that vaccine nationalism is still being carried on through different methods, and underdeveloped countries and poor segments of societies have been literally left to their fate in the face of the pandemic." As for the climate crisis, Erdogan said whoever did the most damage to the nature, the atmosphere and water, and whoever has wildly exploited natural resources should make the greatest contribution to fighting global warming. "Unlike the past, this time no one can afford the luxury to say, I am powerful, so I will not pay the bill, because climate change will treat mankind quite equally," the Turkish leader said. "The duty for all of us is to take measures against this enormous threat with a fair burden sharing." Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening, stay safe, and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.